We're holding on Nunhei Omid Bey's 13 lines from the bottom. Line begins by Tzion. Still talking about, we mentioned in the Mishnah various things, even though you're not allowed, so we said you're not allowed to do malacha on Erev Pesach after Chatzos universally and before Chatzos, it depends on Minhag. But there are certain things that you're allowed to do in the same way as there are certain things that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. And in fact, Erev Pesach is even more lenient than Chol HaMoed. So we said there are certain things you might not be allowed to do Chol HaMoed, but you are allowed to do Erev Pesach. So one of the things the Mishnah mentioned was, the last thing the Mishnah mentioned was, Melichin Kalim or Mevi'in Mibesa Uman, you're allowed to bring Kalim or clothes or whatever to a craftsman. For example, let's say you bring him clothes that he's not gonna wash them today necessarily, but he's gonna wash them after Yom Tov and pick them up. So you're allowed to do that on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara says, Omer Papa. Bodiklon Rava. So the Papa was one of Rava's Talmidim. He tells how one time Rava tested us and asked us the following. Tnan melichin mevin kalim beis ha'oman. We're saying that you're allowed to take kalim and clothes and whatever to a craftsman to work on them. And the Mishnah had said, even though you don't need them for Yom Tov, so you're just bringing them there and he's going to start working on them after Yom Tov. But I have a contradiction. A braisa says, "Ein b'vien kalim beis ha'oman." You're not allowed to pick up things from the craftsman. The im choshesh lehem shemi yigonru. If you're concerned that they may be stolen over there, the guy's house is not safe, and therefore they may be stolen from there. Mefanan lachotzer acheres. Then what you can do is you can move them into another chotzer, but you can't bring them home. So what is it? Are you allowed to pick them up and bring them home, or not?
I mean, this guy has a poor house. We shut the chutzah. Does he have to put?
No. Another chutzah means next door. It means you go next door and you find another chutzah, which is safer. And you deposit them over there, and then you'll pick them up from there, and you'll pick them up from there later on. Umashaninan. So we answered. So Rashi says, in other words, because the next chutzah, it's next door to the Uman. So you can bring it over there, but don't bring them all the way to your house, which is further away because of the tircha. So you're not allowed that amount of tircha. So what is it? Our Mishnah is saying you can pick them up, and that Braisa is saying you can't. Or Mishaninan, so Rav Papa saying, it says, we Talmidim answered, like Kasha, Kanba, but also Kanba Chodesh HaMoed. One's talking about the 14th of Nisan, the other one's talking about Chol HaMoed. So the Erev Pesach is what our Mishnah is talking about. You're allowed to even pick them up. That amount of tircha is not also on Erev Pesach, as opposed to Chol HaMoed, tircha is also when it's not needed. So the HaMoed, therefore you have to leave them there until after Yom Tov, or at least bring them to, or at most bring them to Chotzer Acheres. The Talmidim passed the test, right? The Iboy Seima, or another possibility, Haba Cholosh HaMoed. Maybe both on Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about Chol HaMoed. V'leikasha, kan b'ma'amino, kan b'she'eni ma'amino. You could say that the difference is, does he trust the Uman or not? So if he trusts him, then he has to leave them there. If not, then he can take them home. What do you mean? What does he trust him? Rashi says two explanations. One possibility is the guy might turn around and sell it to somebody else. You gave him your clothes, let's say, to wash for you or whatever. Now, instead of waiting for you to pick them up, he may decide somebody else is willing to offer me a few bucks for them. So I'll just give them to him. Or the other possibility, Rashi says, is ma'amino and she'ene ma'amino, is the guy may demand his fee again. He may demand his fee again. You paid him X amount to wash this thing. You paid him in advance, let's say. So now you're concerned. If you don't pick it up today, then when you come back after Yom Tov, he's going to claim that you owe him the money again.
We'll charge him this time for leaving it over.
Yeah. Okay. So that would be the distinction. Vaha Tanya, and in fact, we learn a braisa that makes that distinction. Mevi'in kalim beis ha'oman, you're allowed to bring home kalim from the craftsman. Kegoin hakad mi beis hakader, for example, or kadod, for example, you can bring a jar home from the home of the jar maker. So he made it for you. He made it for you on commission. So you can pick it up and take it home. Vahakos mi beis hazagog, or a cup from the glass blower. Aval, because those are things that you need for Yom Tov. Aval loit semer mebeis atzaba, but not wool. You can't pick up wool from the dyer because that you don't need for Yom Tov. You're not going to have time before Yom Tov to make it into clothing anyway. Veloy kalim mebeis ha'oman, and not kalim from the craftsman where he made kalim for you that you don't need for Yom Tov. V'im ein loy ma yoichal, but if the craftsman doesn't have what to eat, so he needs the money right away, because otherwise he doesn't have money to buy his yom tov expenses. Then so fine, you pay him the amount, and you leave the keli by him, because you still can't pick up the keli from him, because that would be tircha, that's unnecessary on chol hamoed. If now here's the case where we're saying the Ibar Sema, if you don't trust him, that again, you paid him and he may demand his pay again, or that he may turn around and sell it to somebody else, manichan rabayis hasamuchloy, then you put them in the house next door. The im chosh shemi yigonu, if there's concern, even in the house next door, that they might be stolen, mivin betzina b'seich beisa, then you're allowed to bring it home privately. You're still not allowed to bring it home, but for hesia, where everybody can see it, but you can bring the chalamoid you're talking about, but we're talking about you can bring it home with sina, like you put it in your pocket or something and carry it home. Tosfos points out, once we're saying that you can't leave it by him because ain't him amino, and you can't leave it next door because shemi yigonvu, then already we're not going to be about triach you to go and find the third house, because that's already, by the time you're doing that much tircha, you might as well take it home. It's the same amount of tircha anyway. So just you have to do it with sina, so that people don't think that you're breaking that you're breaking the dinim of chalamoid and think that you can be made on it. The point is, in other words, so we see from this braisa that there's a difference between ma'amino and eni ma'amino. So therefore, we can say our Mishnah that allows you to bring it home is where eni ma'amino and you can't leave it next door because it might get stolen. And the braisa that says that you can't bring it home is talking about where ma'amino. So therefore, both of them could be talking about chalamoid. However, the Gemara says teratz de mavin. Okay, that only answers the question about bringing it back, right? Melichin kasha. What about though? You have the Arm Mishnah says that you can take them there. Hello, and that you can take them there. Whereas the Braisa says you can't kasha, and there you have still the contradiction. Dekatani ein mevin. The Braisa says you can't bring them back home. But chol shekain to ein melichin. So how much more so you wouldn't be allowed to bring them there? And obviously, bring them there, there's no issue of mamino or not, because it's not relevant to talk about mamino when it's not even there yet. So you can't say, so fine, you could explain. In other words, the Mishnah and the Braisa could be talking about picking it up. But from our Mishnah, we see you're also allowed to bring it there. The Braisa implies that you can't. And how do you reconcile that? That has nothing to do with Ma'amino or not. Ela machvarta kedishanin and meikara. So therefore, it's clear we have to use the first answer that our Mishnah is talking about Erev Pesach. And then it say you can take them there or you can pick them up, as opposed to the Braisa is talking about you can't take them there or pick them up. The most that you can do is if enim aminoi and you're afraid it'll get stolen, then you can bring it home with sin. Okay. Since we talked in the Mishnah, we talked throughout the Perek about different places where they had different minhagim. We had places where they had the minhag to do malacha on Erev Pesach in the morning and places where they didn't. So now the Mishnah is going to talk about certain minhagim, or not really minhagim, but dinim, that they held a certain way in the city of Yericho, and the Chachamim disagreed with them. So the Mishnah says, Shisha Dvarim Osu Anshe Yericho.
No Mishnah.
Yeah. Shisha Dvarim Osu Anshe Yericho. There are six things that the people of Yericho did, which, as we're going to say, the Chachamim did not approve of. But Al Shlosha Michu B'yadim, Al Shlosha Le Michu B'yadim. Three of them, the Chachamim protested and said they shouldn't do it, and three of them they didn't. In other words, all six of them, as the Gemara is going to, now we're going to discuss in the Gemara, all six of them were wrong, but there are three of them where at least there's a certain heter for them, and therefore the Chachamim didn't protest. Fine, but yeah, but at least we'll allow you to do it. But there are three things that they actually protested and told them this is wrong to do. We're going to see in the Gemara, by the way, we're not talking these Anshe Yericho words, Stam Amir Oretz. They were evidently Lamdonim, they knew their stuff. Just we're going to see in the Gemara for each one of these things why they did something against halacha. So the Elohen Shalom Michu B'yadim. So the following ones the Chachamim didn't protest against. Markivin Dekolim Kolayim. They would markivin palm trees all day Erev Pesach. We're going to see in the Gemara what markivin means. There's two possibilities. Literally, markivin means grafting, but we're going to talk about in the Gemara two possibilities of what it means. So the point is, in other words, even though we said that you're not allowed to do malacha Erev Pesach after Chatzos, and we said in some places they have the minhag not even before Chatzos, but in Yericho they would do this ma'akivin to call him all the whole day. So fine, the Chachamim did not protest against that. Even though it's wrong of them to do, they didn't protest, as we'll discuss in the Gemara. Number two, b'korchin es shema. Number two, they would wrap shema. When they said shema, we're going to see in the Gemara a few possibilities what that means. And the third thing was they would harvest their grain and they would stack it before the korban ha'omer was brought. Now Rashi says the harvesting actually is not really a problem, and maybe we shouldn't even be go to sit in the Mishnah, because Yericho is in a valley. The halacha is, we talked about the other day, that
can't see.
That grain from valleys is not minamuvcher. It's not the best quality grain because the water pools over there, and therefore it rots the grain and whatever. So therefore, so only grain from hillsides is supposed to be brought from Menachos. Now the rule is places where grain grows, where the grain of that could conceivably be used for Menachos, in particular for the Korban Omer, that you're not allowed to harvest before the Omer. Besides, you're not allowed to eat. That applies to grain that grows anywhere in Eretz Yisrael and Yeshayim and Chutz La'aretz as well. But as far as harvesting, if it's grain that could conceivably, it's from a place that could have been used for the Korban Omer, then you're not allowed to harvest it before the Omer is brought. But if it's a place like Yericho, where anyway you can't bring from it, then you're allowed to harvest it. You're just not allowed to stack it. So the Chachamim didn't have a problem with them harvesting it, says Rashi. They had a problem with them stacking it up. That could wait until after the Omer is brought. Harvesting, you have to. Once it's ripe, you got to harvest it. So otherwise, it's going to go rotten. But to stack it, you can wait another couple of days.
So stacking it means making it square.
Well, it means making a pile, portion of the grain, like threshing it, and then eventually making a pile. Yeah. But not the Shvach Eretz Yisrael. What is that? Okay. Fine. So those are the three things which even though the Chachamim disapproved of them, they weren't moicha. Fine, we can find some heter for what you're doing. On the other hand, the Chachamim protested against the following things that they did. Matirin gamzias shel hekdesh. They were matir branches that grew from trees of hekdesh. Meaning, the Gemara is going to say their ancestors had been makdish trees. Now you have certain kinds of trees, Rashi describes in particular carob trees, shikma trees that we talked about the other day. Those kind, what you do is, so branches grow from them. What you do is you cut off the branches, and that causes that when new branches grow, first of all, it makes the trunk itself grows much thicker. And when new branches grow, then they're stronger also. So that makes it very good to be able to use it for beams for building or whatever. So therefore, so you had these trees that they had been makdish. Now you have branches growing from those trees. The people of Yericho held that those branches are mutter to you, are mutter bahana. Whereas the Chacham are telling them that not. Once you were makdish the tree, then all the branches that grow from it are also bahana. And if you use them, then you're being moral behekdish. We'll see in the Gemara. We'll see in the Gemara what the Anshe Yericho were thinking about that.
That's what makes it better, probably. So
we'll see. The oichlin mitachas on a shorin b'shabbos. Number two, they would eat fruit that fell off a tree on Shabbos, now you're not allowed to do that because we're going to discuss in the Gemara what the exact issue was, whether it's a matter of mukta, basically it's a matter of mukta, but we're going to see in the Gemara the exact details. And number three, v'nosnin peah le'yerek. Number three, the people of Yericho gave peah from vegetables. Now vegetables are not chai, certain vegetables, the Gemara is going to mention, are not chayiv in peah. So the problem is, you're giving payah from it, very nice, you're giving to the aniyim, but the aniyim are going to eat it without taking meiser, because payah is potter from meiser, and it comes out, you're causing them to eat tevel without them realizing that they're doing an iser. So therefore, these three things, umichu biyadim chachamim, therefore the chachamim protested against the people of Yericho doing these things. Okay, so first the Gemara starts off, actually, and you have actually, in the printed Mishnayos, this next thing now that we're going to have about Chizkiyahu is actually printed as a Mishnah in the Mishnayos. So the Gemara brings it over here as a Braisa, but it's related in the sense that there also you have with the Anshe Yericho, we're saying they did six things, and all of them the Chachamim disapproved of. On the other hand, we're going to have Chizkiyahu also did six things, six unusual things, and three of them the Chachamim approved of, and three of them they disapproved of. So therefore, like the Gemara is bringing that as a similar kind of thing. So again, in the Mishnayos, it's actually printed as a Mishnah. I think the Rambam says in Pirush HaMishnayos, that's not really a Mishnah. It's really a Braisa, but since it's a nice thing, I'm going to explain it anyway. Anyway, so Tana Rabbanan, Shisha Dvarim Osa Chizkiya Melech. Chizkiya Melech did six things. Six unusual things. Al Shlosha Hoduloi, Al Shlosha Loi Hoduloi. The Chachamim of his times agreed with him about three of them that they were the right things to do, and three of them they disagreed with him. Number one, Gir Atzmis Aviv Al Mitzah Shachabalim. He dragged his father's bones on a bed of ropes. V'hoiduloy, and the Chacham agreed he had done the right thing. His father was Ochaz, who was one of the big Rishayim among the kings of Yehuda. He had worshipped Avodah Zarah. He had gotten other people to worship Avodah Zarah. He had interfered with the Avodah and the Mesnikdash and so on and so forth. So when he died, Chizkiyahu decided the right thing to do is not bury him in a bekavadik way like you should for a king, but rather to drag him around on a bed of ropes in order to be mevazeh him. That way, first of all, Rashi says v'yivosru harishayim. This way, Rishayim will learn not to act like that. This way, also, it'll be a kapara for him. And the Chachamim agreed that he did the right thing.
kind of relationship he had with his father during his life?
What kind of relationship did we have? We don't know. We do know the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that his father wanted to offer him to Moloch, and the only reason he was saved is because his mother smeared him with salamander blood. So I doubt that Chizkiah, I doubt that Chizkiah liked his father very much. You have many in the Mephoshim say that the kid wasn't actually Bruin. The Gemara seems to take it that the kid was actually Bruin when he was offered to Moloch. So like this, he was saved because his mother made him fireproof. But
the
blood of a salamander, a certain creature that the Gemara mentions, is effective against fire. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so that's one. Number two, kitas nechash anachoshes v'hoiduloi. The second thing he did is he chopped up or smashed the copper snake that Moshe Rabbeinu had made. We know in Parashas Chukas, one of the times when the Yidden were complaining about the months, Hashem sent nechoshim srofim to bite them. And then he told Moshe to make a nechash anachoshes and put it on a pole. V'hoi yokolam noshach v'rois v'hoi. As we know, the famous thing Rashi mentions on the Pasuk from a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, that it's not the nechosh, it's not meimis v'machaya. When they looked up and they had kavana on the Eivishter, then they would be healed. They kept that nechash and nechoshes for hundreds of years after that. Made by Moshe Rabbeinu. Eventually, people started worshiping it as a getchke. So Chizkiyahu smashed it. And then the Chacham approved that he had done the right thing. Number three, gona sefer refuos v'hoduloi. Number three, he hid away the sefer refuos, and the Chacham agreed he had done the right thing. What's the sefer refuos? Rashi says, Parshat is a book that had cures for all kinds of illnesses in it. The problem is, Rashi says, that people were not, when a person would get sick, they wouldn't think I have to do tshuva. They just think, let me look in the book and find what the cure is, and therefore therefore he hid it away. Now the Rambam brings that explanation, not in the name of Rashi, because Rashi's Pirush wasn't yet known in the Rambam's times. The Rambam was born about 30 years after Rashi passed away, but the Rambam lived in Spain and then in Egypt, and Rashi's Pirushim hadn't yet reached him, it seems. Maybe at the very end of his life, but anyway, in Pirush HaMishnayis, which the Rambam wrote when he was fairly young, he mentions this explanation, but he strongly argues against it. He says, Hayitochen, I mean, by the same logic, you should say that when a person is hungry, he shouldn't eat, because he should be relying on the Eivishter. Obviously, we don't say that. So the Rambam has two other explanations. One is that this book had in it magical cures. So why was it written and why was it by the Jews in the first place if we're not allowed to do magic? Because, for example, after Lamed, Lahavin, Lahodis, the Sanhedrin, for example, is allowed to learn these things because they need to know. When a person is doing Kishuf, they need to be able to know what he did wrong. Unfortunately, people were misusing it and using the actual things in it for Kishuf, so therefore he hid it away. Another possibility that Rambam says is that this book also contained various things about poison. Now, there's a lot of things in the world that in large doses are poisonous, but in small doses can be good for you. So this book described such things. So the problem was that people were misusing the information in it to poison other people. So you're being told about a certain herb that in small quantities it'll do such and such for you, but in large quantities it's poisonous. So people were using that information to poison other people, and therefore Chizkiyahu hid it away. So the Chacham agreed that was the right thing to do. Now, on the other hand, there are three things that Chizkiyahu did that the Chacham disapproved of. So now they weren't necessarily moicha, like we said, by the Anshei Yericha, but at least they disapproved of him. Number one, kitzit dalsis shel hechel, dalsis shel hechel, v'shigron l'melech Asher. He cut off the gold from the gates of the Hechel and sent it to the king of Asher. The Pasuk describes over there how Sancheirev was threatening Eretz Yisrael. He'd already taken the Aseres HaShavatim into Golos. He's starting to threaten Yehuda. So he ordered Chizkiyahu to pay him a huge tribute of gold and silver. And so Chizkiyahu took everything he had in his treasury, and it still wasn't enough. So he ended up taking the gold off the doors of the Beis Mikdash as part of the tribute. And the Chacham disapproved of that, because at that point you already don't do that. At that point you should have trusted in the Eivishter. And in fact, the Pesukim go on to say that even after he sent that whole tribute, Sancheirev came and attacked anyway. So it's not like the tribute ended up doing any good. That was later on. So after Sancheirev came with his whole army and conquered most of Eretz Yehuda, and then he came and threatened Yerushalayim. So afterwards, eventually, what happened was Sancheirev's army was wiped out in one night, on Pesach night, outside Yerushalayim. But that was after all this.
It wasn't necessarily many years.
I don't know how long afterwards it was, but whatever. Chizkiyahu should have sung a song and he didn't, and that's why he couldn't be Mashiach.
Someone said they all died out.
That the Malachim said they heard them. One opinion is they heard the Shira of the Malachim, and that's what killed them.
Oh, listen.
Yeah. Okay. So that's so that. Number two, Sasa me Gichen Ha'elyon. Number two, Chizkiyahu stopped up the waters of the upper Gichen spring. The Gichen spring is a spring outside Yerushalayim that supplied water for the city. The Malchut Beis David used to be anointed over there. Chizkiyahu closed that up because the Pasuk says, or actually quotes the Pasuk, that he figured we don't want the kings of Ashur to come and find a lot of water. We want to have that if they besiege the city, they shouldn't find a water supply. You have Adayim Azer, the famous Chizkiyahu's tunnel, the famous Shiloyach tunnel. You can walk through it nowadays in outside the old city, where they channeled the water from the spring over there down into a pool at the base of the city of Yerushalayim. But the Chachamim disapproved of that because, again, first of all, it shows a bit of lack of emunah in the Eibishter. And in particular, the Gichon spring is associated with Malchus Beis David. That's what we're saying. The kings of Beis David were anointed over there, so it's not really right to interfere with it. There is actually an interesting story involving Reb Chaim Vital, where one time the local pasha, whatever, the local ruler, whatever, in Yerushalayim wanted to get him to show him the original location and to dig it out so he wanted to know where the original spring was. And I forget the exact details of the story, but I think the gist of it is that Reb Chaim didn't want to, and he's afraid of what's the guy going to do if you don't listen to him. So he ran away, and then the Arizal came to him, I think in a dream, and told him, you know what, you had the opportunity where they were to fix up what Chizkiyahu did wrong over here, and you missed the opportunity. I think it's like something like that. Like he said, a shame Kurdish and ended up in Damascus or something like that. And the Arizal came and told him, you did wrong because now the Eibishter was giving you an opportunity to undo the wrong thing that Chizkiyahu had done 2,000 years earlier, and you missed the opportunity. Yeah, I forgot.
And why didn't he want to do it?
He didn't want to do it because I don't remember what he exactly said. Whatever, yeah.
Okay. And he didn't want to do a miracle, but he did miracle with Shankar.
Yeah,
but do you think he ended up in Damascus the rest of his life?
No, he did. He lived in Damascus most of the rest of his life.
He wasn't with the Arizal when he passed away.
This was long after the Arizal passed away.
So the water was so the, shut off?
No, not just shut off. What it is like this. There was a spring over there. Like this, you would go over there to the spring and fill up with water. Like this, what Chizkiyahu did is he closed up. He sealed the top of it so that instead the water was going to go out through the side kind of, and then there was this whole long tunnel that they built, a few hundred feet long, that channeled the water down through the city, down to the foot of the city of Yerushalayim. Yeah.
He brings it that
but kings are anointed with oil, not with water.
Kings are anointed with oil, but they were anointed by this spring because it represented the idea, just like a spring keeps on flowing, so Malchus Beis David should continue to exist.
So they were anointed with water?
Not every king was anointed, by the way. The general rule was that you only had to anoint a king if there was machloikas, if there was some kind of fight between two people who's going to be the next king. For example, Shlomo HaMelech was anointed because of that. Chizkiyahu himself didn't actually have to be anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, but there's still the idea that this Gichon spring next to Yerushalayim represents Malchus Beis David, and therefore we shouldn't be interfering with it. Therefore, we shouldn't be tampering.
So they were anointed with water and oil when there was a machlokes?
No, they were anointed with oil, with Shemen HaMishcha, but they were anointed by the spring. The place where they did it was by the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Onward. Ibar Nisan Menisan V'loi Hodolo, the third thing that Chizkiyahu did is he made an Ibuyo of Nisan in Nisan. In other words, after Nisan had started, he and his Beis Din decided to make it instead Adoshen, which you're not allowed to do. The last time you can do it is the end of Adar. In fact, actually, the Gemara has a whole discussion about it in Sanhedrin. First of all, it wasn't necessarily after Nisan began. It was on the 30th of Adar, but the 30th of Adar could conceivably be the first day of Nisan because it can be a 29-day month. So Chizkiyahu held still Adar, therefore we're allowed to make an Ibuyar, but the Chachamim disagreed. Another point the Gemara mentions there in Sanhedrin is the reason why Chizkiyahu did this also is not appropriate because he was doing it because many of the people and many of the Kohanim were still Tame, and that's not a valid reason to make an Ibuyar. So the Chachamim disagreed with him on that. The deal of it was basically Ochaz had died at that time, and now Chizkiyahu needed to clean up the Beis Mikdash of all the Avodah Zarah in it and get the people to be Tohar and get people to come to Yerushalayim, bring a Korban Pesach, some of them for the first time in many years. So he figured we need an extra month over there in order to get all this arranged. But the Chum disagreed and said he shouldn't have done that. Okay. Getting back to the people of Yericho, we said the first thing... Yeah.
I'm sorry. To make a leap year, is the king allowed to sit on the Sanhedrin for that?
So the Gemara does mention that a king usually shouldn't sit on the council for that, because he might decide to make a leap year for things having to do with his with his annual budget or something. But okay, d'evit, I guess if he does, then that's okay. Next. So the Mishnah said, Markivim dekolim kolayim. Before we said that the people of Yericho would be Markivim palm trees all day long. In other words, we said even the whole Erev Pesach, even though even after Chatzos. So Hechi Avdi. So what do they do? What's this Markivim dekolim? Amr of Yehuda, Maisi Osadora. They would take a fresh hadas, the Shichra de Daphna, and beer made from laurel berries. So laurel is a kind of plant, it has berries, and from the berries of it, you're able to make, you can squeeze out juice from them and make a kind of beer out of it. So that, the Kimcha de Sairi, and they would take barley flour, de Rami Bimona, which was left in a keli, de Loi Chalfi Alei Aboin Yomin, where it was less than, it hadn't been there, it had been less than 40 days since that flour was ground. So they would take these three ingredients and mix them together. They would boil them together, and then they would inject it into the heart of the palm tree. And it would strengthen, it would help the palm tree grow better. And it helped so much. Now Yericho in particular, they had a lot of palm trees. In fact, there are places in Tanakh where it calls Yericho Ir Hatzmarim, the city of the palm trees, because there were so many of them over there. In Parshas Vezes HaBracha, for example, it mentions that Moshe saw Yericho Ir Hatzmarim at Tzoyar. So yeah. So they would do this in order to strengthen their palm trees. Any other tree that's standing within four amas of the one where you did this injection to, if they don't do the same to that other tree, then that other tree is going to dry up. Because pastures, in other words, what happens is this concoction strengthens the tree so much, like it'll take all the nutrients from the soil and there won't be any left for any of the other trees around it. So they would do that. So they would do that on Erev Pesach all day. So again, we said the Chachamim word Moicha. One reason is because they might have considered it a Dover HaOver. It might be one of these things that they consider. If you don't do this, then it's the palm tree is not going to grow well, and the fruit of it is going to be lost or not good quality or whatever. And such things you're allowed to do, even Chalamoyed. So the Chachamim would have disagreed and said it's not really Dover HaOver, but nevertheless, okay, you still have a certain heter for it, so therefore we're not going to protest against it. Rav Acha Bere de Rava, Omer, Rav Acha Bere de Rava has a different definition of what the Markivin to call them is. Manchi Kufra Dichra the Nukvasa. They would take a branch, they would take a male branch and put it into a female. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi has two explanations. One is that they would take a new branch from a palm tree, and they would take another tree, they'd make a hole or a cleft in it or something, and they'd stick the one into the other, so it's like a male and female fitting together. And therefore, the point is they're grafting it on, and that way it would grow better. So it's like now
they didn't graft in the body.
So they'd graft it, right. They'd graft a branch onto an existing tree, right. The other explanation Rashi says is what we mean by male and female is not the shapes, but rather the actual trees themselves. We talked about the other day, there are male palm trees and female palm trees. Many plants are not like that. Many plants are both male and female, and they can pollinate themselves and they can produce fruit. But you have certain plants, palm trees are among them, where there are male ones and there are female ones, and they have to be pollinated. They have to be cross-pollinated from one to the other in order to grow. So here, without that, it doesn't grow fruit. Like we said the other day, a palm tree that's not done to is only going to produce kafnios, we said, which are dates that are never going to become fully ripe. So over here, what they would do is, then Rashi says, the second explanation is they would take a branch from a male palm tree and attach it to a female palm tree, because without that, a female palm tree by itself is not going to produce fruit. So like this, you have the branch from the male tree attached. Now it'll be able to pollinate it, and now it'll be able to produce fruit. Yeah. Okay. So in any case, so again, one idea is that they held that this kind of thing is a Dover HaOvod, and the Chachamim disagreed. Okay. We said in the mission of a Kirch and a Shema, the second thing they did, which the Chachamim disapproved of but didn't protest, is they would wrap Shema. So Hechi Avdi, what does that mean? Amr of Yehuda, they oimrim Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, v'loi hayu mafsikin. They would not stop between the words of the pasuk Shema Yisrael. So actually, Rashi explains. No, what it means is loi hayu mafsikin means they did not stop between that and v'yahafta. Now you're supposed to. So Rashi says what it means is you're supposed to say the word Echad a little longer. You're supposed to have in mind that Hashem rules over the Zayin Rekiyim and the Oretz during the Ches, and that he rules over the four directions during the Dalet. So they didn't do that. They would just go right away to V'ahavta. Also, Rashi explains that there's also the word, the Pasuk Shema itself is Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. Then V'ahavta is beginning to talk about mitzvahs. So like this, there should be a break between them, which is where we put in Baruch Shem, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute. And they didn't do that. They would just go straight from one to the other. Tosfos has a different explanation that they would not stop after the word Yisroel. The proper way to say it is Shema Yisroel, listen Yisroel, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Instead, they would say it all as one thing, which now makes it sound like it means Shema Yisroel Hashem, Hashem listen to Yisroel, which is the wrong meaning.
What's the trap on
Yisrael? The trap on the word Yisrael is, in fact, an asnachta. So they didn't pay attention to that. In fact, Rabbeinu Yonah actually says that the Korchan Shema over here means that they should have been saying Shema with trap, and they did not. In Shulchan Aruch, it mentions, ideally, if saying with trap is not going to disturb your kabbana, then yeah, better you should say it with trap. In the Siddur Torah Ur, actually, they have Shema is printed with trap. I don't think it was that way. I don't know if it was that way in the Alter Rebbe's original Siddur, but in the Siddur Torah Ur, it's actually printed that way. So ideally, you say it with Trump if it's not going to disturb your kavana. So, yeah.
Isn't it one the name of the Rizal? Person should say Olive Tanakh with Trump.
Maybe, yeah. Okay. All right. Onward. Rava Omer Mafsikin Hoyu. Rava says, no, they did break where they were supposed to. Ela Shahayu Omer Hayyim Al Lavavecha. What it is they didn't make a break later on. At the end of the pasuk, thereafter, when it says "Asher Nechim Etzavcha Hayoyim Al Lova V'Hayu Advar Ma'ela Asher Nechim Etzavcha Hayoyim Al Lova V'Echa," they would not stop after the word Hayoyim Demashma, and therefore that made it sound Hayoyim Al Lova V'Echa V'Loim Macher Al Lova V'Echa. So it's supposed to be "Asher Nechim Etzavcha Hayoyim," which I command you today. These things should be Al Lova V'Echa on your heart. They would not break after the word Hayoyim, so it made it sound as though Hayoyim Al Lova V'Echa today. These things need to be in your heart, but not tomorrow.
Understand, we say you're these pure learned people.
So we said they're learned people, but still they were careless about this. So one second, turn it up on. Kate said, "How you kochen a shema?" So how were they kochen? How were they rapping shema? Oimim shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad v'lohi mafsikin divrei Rav Meir. So the mayor says, like the first thing we said, that Rabbi Yehuda said that they would say without making a hefsik, either as Rashi says they wouldn't make a hefsik between echad and v'ahavta, or as Tosfos says between Yisrael and Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm mafsikin hoyu. Rabbi Yehuda says they did make a break. Ela shalahi, I mean baruch shen kvar machos elam bad. The problem was they didn't say baruch shen kvar machos elam bad. Now, so the question is, v'anan my time aminin lei. So why do we say it? First, let's understand why we say baruch shen. Then we can talk about why the people of Yericho didn't. So why do we say it? So like this, and after all, it doesn't say it in the pasuk. So the answer is kedidorish Reb Shimon Lakish. The reason we say it is based on what Reb Shimon Lakish explained. The Amr of Shimon Lakish, the Pasuk says in Parashas Vayichi, Vayikra Yaakov Abana, Yaakov called together his sons, Vayomer, he said, He'osfu v'agidu lachem, gather together and I will tell you. So it means Bikish Yaakov Legalis Levon of Ketz Hayomin. Yaakov intended to reveal to his sons the Ketz Hayomin, the Ketz, when Mashiach is going to come. Yomin means the right hand. In other words, it actually explains. Like this, we have in Megillas Eicha, we have That in Megillas Eicha, we have the expression Heshiv Ocho Yemino Mipnei Oyev. Hashem, so to speak, is holding back his right hand because of the enemy. Like this, Hashem is supposed to be using his right hand to protect us and to do Nisim for us. And Hashem, like so to speak, is holding it back. So now, the Asid Lavi, Hashem is going to bring out and then use his right hand again. So therefore, it's called Ketz Hayomim. So Yaakov intended to inform his children when that's going to be. Then his stock went to Shechina, and then the Shechina went away from him, so he wasn't able to. Omar, so he says, why did that happen? Shema chas v'shalom yesh b'mitosi psul. Is there maybe somebody psul among my children? Ka'av raham mitosi means my bed, but in other words, the children that I conceived in bed. This is when we say in Hamako, usehei mitosi shleima l'fanacha, it includes that. That we're asking that all our children should be like Yaakov mitosi shleima, that we shouldn't have any psul. Avraham sheyatzim menu Yishmael va'avi Yitzchak sheyatzim menu Esav. Like Avraham had a psul that Yishmael came out of him, and my father Yitzchak that Esav came out of him. Maybe because of that, now the Eibusher doesn't want me to tell Ketz Hayomin. Amru le'bonav. So his children said, "No, Shema Yisrael. Listen, Yisrael, meaning the actual name of Yaakov. He has a second name, Yisrael. listen, Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Hashem our God, Hashem is one, meaning we believe in one Hashem just as much as you do. Amru, so they're saying, Kishem She'en B'libcha Ela Echad, just as there's only one Hashem in your heart, Kach En B'libenu Ela Echad, so also we believe only in the one Eivishter. So there's no psul among us. So Yaakov responded saying, blessed is the glory of Hashem's name, of Hashem's kingdom, the glory of Hashem's kingdom forever and ever. In other words, he was thanking the Eivishter that all of his children were kshayim.
He was prevented from revealing
it for a different reason, but not because any of them apostles.
Because his father Yisrael, okay?
Yeah, because Yisrael is like a title of respect, yeah. But there is, by the way, a sicha in Chelik Yud where the Rebbe talks about the deeper idea that Yaakov wanted to tell them. It's not just that he wanted to tell them a certain date. It's he wanted to be able to bring down the ability to be able to be megala the kates, that each of us should have that ability. And even though it didn't happen in practice, nevertheless, it's still the potential was brought into the world. So now each of us does have the ability to be megala that ourselves in each of us through our own avodah to be able to reveal it within ourselves.
We need to have the
national Mashiach Lamata Masara Tvachim, but each of us is able to now accomplish it on a personal level for ourselves. There's a very interesting letter from Rebbetzin Freida. Now the Alter Rebbe had a daughter, Rebbetzin Freida, and we know there was many stories about her. She was exceptionally expert in Chassidus. There was even times when she would hear Maimorim that were given to her personally by the Alter Rebbe and then tell them over to her brother, the Mittel Rebbe. So there's a letter that's been there's a sefer that was published about 100 years ago called Chachmi Yisrael Bal Shem Tov, which has a miscellaneous letters from different tzaddikim and chassidim and whatever. It has a letter from her to the Mittel Rebbe, to her brother, the Mittel Rebbe, where she says, I heard as how you're saying that you heard I want to be Megala the Ketz. No, I'm not actually trying to be Megala the Ketz. But I'll explain to you something that I heard from our father, the Alter Rebbe, that a person is able to be Megala the Ketz within themselves. So whatever. I'll identify that. Kate's called Basso Balafani, like you have a person can be Mavatal, their Basso, and be a person can be completely Bottle to Elikos. And that's the level, what do we say, that a person can be Megala the Ketz in themselves. That's the level I'm working on, basically, she's saying. Anyway, so. Okay, so that's so. The bottom line is that Yaakov at that point had said Baruch Shem Kol Machas Olam Vod. Ami Rabbanon Hechi Nevid. So the Chachamim now said, what should we do? Neimruhu. Should we say it? Can't. Loi Amrei Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu did not say it in the Torah. Now, why Taka did Moshe not say it in the Torah? So the Medrash gives us another very famous reason why we say, which eventually we're going to say over here in the Gemara, why we say it quietly. But the Medrash gives another famous reason, which is Moshe Rabbeinu heard the Malachim saying it when he went up Lamaila to receive the Torah. And so to speak, like he stole it from them. So therefore, the rest of the year, we have to hide it, like because only on Yom Kippur, when we're like the Malachim, can we say it aloud. So therefore, for that reason alone, the Magen Avraham says that's precisely why Moshe didn't write it in the Torah, because it had to stay hidden. So it's not written in the Torah, so we can't say it, and we can't just say it like the rest of Shema. Loi neimruhu, should we not say it? Omra Yaakov, but Yaakov doch said it. He's skinu shiur imi meisu bechashai. Say they made a takona that they should say it quietly. Now, so the people of Yericho, so Rashi's first exposé. So again, when we say that they didn't say Baruch Shem Kol Machas Olam Vod, Rashi has one explanation means that they wouldn't say it at all. And another explanation is they said it loud, just like the rest of Shema. They didn't say it quietly like we do. So now Yom Kippur, again, we say it loud, but they were doing it, according to that second explanation in Rashi, they were saying it loud all year round. They said in the yeshiva of Rav Ami, Moshel of Asmelach Shehi Richot Sikei Kdeira. This is like a moshel of a princess who smelled a very tasty food that was being cooked. Im Toymar, if she says to her servants, I want some of that, Yesh Lagnai, it's like an embarrassment for her, like she can't control her taivas. Loi Toymar, but if she doesn't say anything, Yesh Latsar, then she feels hurt by it, that she really wants this stuff. His chilu avadeh, lahavi b'chashai, so therefore her servants started bringing it to her in secret. So the same way, like we want to be able to say Baruch Shem, but we can't say it out loud, so therefore instead we say it privately, we say it quietly. So the Gemara finishes off. At one point, the Chachamim made a takana that you should always say it out loud because of complaints from the minim. You have the minim, are going to think that we're adding something when we're whispering. What are we whispering? It must be something that actually says Dabar She'ene Hogun, something improper, maybe a curse against them, maybe something secretly, maybe some secret thing of Kfira or something that we believe in, something like they do or whatever, who knows? So therefore, they made the takana that you should say it out loud. We still have to be concerned about that. We don't want the minim to have a wrong impression. And then Rashi says, according to the explanation that we said, that the people of Yericho were saying Baruch Shem Kor Machzor Lanu God out loud. So the thing was, among them, there weren't any minim, so therefore they figured they could say it out loud. And the Gemara says, Uvin Hauda. Now, on the other hand, in the city of Nahauda in Babel, the Lekka minim, where there are no minim, over there, ad hashta amilo b'chashay. So until this very day, they say it there quietly, and that's how the minig and most in the whole Jewish world now is we do that. We're not worried about Torah Masam Minim anymore, so therefore we say it quietly, except on Yom Kippur.
Minim was non-believers, or
Minim means generally. Minim means specifically like it often means the early Christians. So, but in general, it means people who believed in various distorted versions of Yiddishkeit. So there was concern that they might think that we're saying something that secretly we believe in their ideas or who knows what. There are a lot of places of the various explanations that we're saying over here about what the Anshei Yericho did or didn't do as far as Shema, in a lot of places in Chassidus, including a lot of places in Torah Ur and various other places, it focuses on the one that we're saying over here that they didn't say Baruch Shem Kor Machzor Lanu God. Rashi's first explanation of what when the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda says that they didn't say Baruch Shem Kor Machzor Lanu God, and Rashi has two explanations: one that they didn't say it at all, and the other that said it loud. In many places in Chassidus, it uses the first explanation and explains the deeper idea behind it. That what were the Anshei Yericho thinking? Again, we're saying they were Tamen Chachamim. They're not just Stam Hamoinam. The idea is that there's Yichud in Shari Yichud Ba'amuna. It talks about this. Shema is Yichud Ilah, and Baruch Shem Kor Machzor Lanu God is Yichud Tata. They felt that they're on a level where they don't need the Yichud Tata, where they don't need the second one. It's enough the Yichud Hashem that you have in the pasuk Shema Yisrael. The Chachamim disagreed because, you know, who says you're on that level? Or who says at any rate that everybody else should be doing like that? In one particular place, the Rebbe talked about in our Sicha, that what it is that the people of Yericho then in effect are saying that Elokus doesn't need to be brought down into our world. It's enough that Elokus exists. It doesn't need to be brought down into Lamata Me'asara Tvachim. And the Chacham are saying that's not appropriate. You do need to, and you accomplish that by saying Baruch Shem and accomplishing Yichud HaTata. We live in a Braisa. Shisha Dvarim Osu Anshei Yericho. There are six things, as we said in the Mishnah, that the people of Yericho did. Shloisha Birtzon Chachamim or Shloisha Shaloi Birtzon Chachamim. Three of them the Chachamim approved of, and three of them they didn't approve of. Now, that's not what we said in the Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah the Chachamim disapproved of all six. They just weren't Moicha on three of them. But this is a different opinion. So the first opinion is that the Chachamim approved of three of them. The Elo Birtzon Chachamim. So the following ones the Chachamim approved of. Ma'kivin dekolim kolayim, they did this ma'kivin dekolim all day, again, either injecting the stuff into the palm tree or taking a branch from one palm tree and sticking it into another. The kochen eshma, they were kochen eshma, according to these various explanations of not stopping between the words properly or not saying baruch shem or saying baruch shem out loud, etc. The kotzvin lifnei oimer, and then they harvested their grain before the oimer. So these are Birtzon Chachamim. The Elu Shaloi Birtzon Chachamim. The following are not with the approval of the Chachamim. Goydshin Lifnei Omer. They would stack their grain before the Omer. Uportzin Protzis Beganisehen or Parisehen Lahachel Nesher La'aniyim B'shnei Batzoris B'shabosis V'yemitoyim. They would make breaches in the walls around their gardens and around their orchards. That they would do before Shabbos. But the point was, this way, poor people during years of famine could come in through those breaches, and on Shabbos and Yom Tov they could take fruit that had fallen off the trees. So the Chachamim disapproved of that because the fruit fell off, and as we're going to see soon, it's a problem of mukta. And the third one is matirin gamzias shal hektas shal chorav shal shikma. The third one was that they would matir the branches that grew from hektish trees of carob trees and shikma trees, which, as we said before, the trees were already hektish. They held the branches that grew from them afterwards are not hektish, and the Chachamim are telling them it's not so. So that's dibre Rav Meir. All of that is according to Rav Meir. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean the first three are Birtzayin Chachamim? In Birtzayin Chachamim Hayu Oisin, if the first three things were Birtzayin Chachamim, Yehu Kol Adam Oisin Kain, then everybody should be allowed to do that. And we know you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to Makivin Dekolim on Erev Pesach, at least not after Chatzos. You're not allowed to be Kodech HaShema. You have to say Shema properly. You're not allowed to what do you mean that the first three are Birtzayin Chachamim? Rather, Rabbi Yehuda says, Elu ve'elu shaloi b'tzayin chachamim ha'yoysin. Both groups of things were not with the consent of the chachamim. The difference is, as we said in the Mishnah, al shloshim michu b'yadim, al shloshim michu b'yadim. Just that for three of them, the chachamim actually protested, and three of them they didn't, because at least there's a certain heter for what they're doing. The elu shaloi michu b'yadim, ma'kivin dekolim kol hayom, they would do ma'kivin dekolim all day, of Erev Pesach, v'korchen eshma, v'kotzin v'gotchen lifnei ha'omer, and even though these things are not correct up Yalocha, the Chacham didn't protest, because with each one of them there's a certain heter that you can find. The Elu Shemichu B'Yadim, and then continues Rabbi Yehuda, like in the Mishnah, the following, they did protest against them. Matirin Gamzias Shel Hektish Shel Chorav Shel Shikma. They were matir these branches from the Chorav and Shikma trees that were hektish. They were matir to use the branches, and the Chacham said you can't do that. Or pots in Pratis Beganisein, or Padisein Lech, Lahachel Neshel Anim, Shabbosis, Vyam Tovim, Vishneb Atsodas. And during years of hunger, they would make holes, they would make breaches in the fences around their gardens and orchards in order that the Anim should be able to come in and eat fruit that fell off the trees on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And that the Chachamim protested, because you can't eat such fruit on Shabbos and Yom Tov, as we're going to see on other days. And the third one was noistin peah leyerek, that they gave peah from vegetables, and those things umichu biyodim chachamim, those are the things that the chachamim protested against and said you're not allowed to do those things. Okay, so now the question is, the sover of Yehuda tzira shaloi b'tzayin chachamim he. So you're telling me Rabbi Yehuda holds that even the harvesting was shaloi b'tzayin chachamim? V'hatnan, what we learn in a Mishnah in Menachos. They would harvest their grain before the Omer, and that the Chachamim agreed is fine, because again, Yericho is not one of those places where you can bring grain for the Omer from. But they would stack up the grain, they would thresh it and harvest it, and then whatever, they would thresh it and get to the point of stacking it before the Omer, and that the Chachamim said they should wait, because otherwise they might come to eat from it, and it's also as Chadosh. But still, still the Chachamim did not protest about what they're doing. Now, we have to ask, man shamat le'dama michu v'le'michu. Now, you can't say this b'raise is like Reb Meir, because which Tana is it that says that all of these things the Chachamim disapproved of, and it's just a difference whether they were moicha or not, is Reb Yehuda. According to Reb Meir, the first three things they did was actually b'rtzayin Chachamim. So if the Mishnah is mentioning that lo michu v'yadam Chachamim, that has to be like Reb Yehuda. And still the Mishnah is saying that the harvesting was done b'Ritzayin Chachamim. So what are you telling me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Kotsuin was not b'Ritzayin Chachamim? New, and according to your Svara, that you're thinking that that the Braisa that we just quoted is correct. Okay, within the Braisa itself, you have four things that it's saying they did. They were Markiven to call him, they were Kurchen Eshma, and they were harvesting and stacking grain before the Omer. So that's four things. And yet you're saying three. Ella smimi kan ktsira. So obviously what you have to do is you have to delete the word ktsira from the Braisa. So the Braisa does not address whether they were the harvesting. Fine, that was fine. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the problem was the stacking the grain. And in our Mishnah also, that's why in our Mishnah also, Rashi had said we shouldn't be gurdus the word kotsman, for the same reason, because there's nothing wrong with the ktsira, because they live in a place where you can't bring the omer from it anyway.
Okay. But once you're stacking it, then you might come to eat it.
So that's the problem. While you're stacking it, you might eat it. But still, on the other hand, you have the consideration. You're not necessarily going to, because as it is, you've been used to all the time that you can't eat from the grain from this year until you bring the Omer. So therefore, it's not such a concern, but there still is a certain concern. And after all, though, on the other, so again, when it comes to the harvesting, fine, there's a hefset involved if they leave it and don't harvest it as soon as it's ready. So therefore, they'll allow them to do that. But the goyshin, wait until after the Omer is brought. There's no hefset if you leave it there a couple of days. Whereas the Anshe Yericha felt that it's fine, you know, since we're not used to eating it all year, there's no problem that we're going to eat it, so we should be allowed to be goyjin. And the Chachamim disagreed, but they're not going to be moicha in them, because after all, they do have a certain point. We said one of the things that they did, which the Chachamim not only disapproved of, but told them off for, is a martirin gamzia shal hektish shal chorib shal shikma. We said they were matu branches of carob trees and shikma trees that had been made hekdesh. So why is that? Omru, because they said, avreisenu lahekdesh ralakodes. What were our ancestors makdesh? Only the trunks that are going to eventually become beans. So we can be matter the branches of the chorov and the shikma trees. And specifically, over gidul and haborim la'acham, mikanaskinan, specifically what we're talking about is the branches that started growing after the tree was made hektish. So therefore, v'savri l'kamandar amma ein me'ila v'gidulin. Now, the Anshi Yericha held like the opinion, which there is such an opinion in Masech Me'ila, that says that Me'ila doesn't apply to things that grow so you makdish a tree, and afterwards branches or whatever grow from it, then they're talking out also. So they held like that. V'rabbonon savri. Meanwhile, the Rabbonon, who not only disagreed, but protested against them, what do they hold? They say, fine, nehidu Me'ila leka. Okay, there's no Me'ila on a Daraisa level. Isura mi'a'ika, there's at least an Isur in it. If not Daraisa, at least the Rabbonon. So therefore, you, Anshi Yericho, should be paying attention to that. Okay. We said...
By cutting off a branch, then it grows stronger. I understand they're making the tree stronger, better. But if they're actually not making it better by cutting it off, then that type of meal sounds like a...
Right. So the Chachamim are saying that even, fine, you can cut off the branches in order to make the trunk stronger, but the branches are still going to belong to Hekdesh. You can't use them for yourselves. Okay. Or parts in process. We said another thing that they did, which the Chachamim protested against, is this business of making breaches in the fences around their gardens so that the Aniyim could eat the fruit that fell off the trees. You have to look at this, by the way. You see, these guys are great Bali Chesed. You know, they're not worried about that. Animals are going to come in, whatever, as long as Abi, the poor people, can come in. And the Chama is saying, very nice. You guys are great Bali Tzedakah, but you still got to remember the halachas of Shabbos. You want to have the Aniyim be able to get fruit, then fine. You know, leave out some fruit for them before Shabbos, but don't allow them to take the stuff that falls off the trees. So the Gemara says, Amar Ola Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, Machlokes B'Shamach Beis. The machloikas over here is about the dates that are among the branches of the tree. Machbedus literally means brooms, because the branches of the palm tree can be used as brooms. We have a number of places in Shas where it mentions that they would use them for that purpose. So you have like this. You have at the top of the palm tree, the branches grow very close together. So therefore, Rashi explains that what happens is when dates fall off the branches, so they have dates grow in clusters between the branches. When dates fall off, they often get caught between the branches over there. So they're not physically attached to the tree anymore, but they're caught among the branches. The problem is that if you go and try to take those, you might at the same time go and pick other ones that are still attached to the tree. And that would be a malacha daraisa. So therefore, so that the machloikas between the chachamim and the Anshi Yerichai is about the ones that are stuck between the branches. So the chachamim are concerned that you might go up there and actually take dates that are still attached to the tree, and that would be a malacha daraisa. The Anshi Yerichai sabri gazrin and shami yalav yitlosh. The Anshi Yerichai held we don't have to make such a zera. Abel b'shal ben akipim, but then you have dates that are falling between the kifim, which are the lower branches, where near the lower branches, you don't have any dates growing because they only grow high up on the tree. So therefore, so the ones that are falling, bein kifim, divrei hakol mutter, then everybody would agree that they're mutter, and therefore even the chachamim wouldn't have a problem with the poor people coming and taking those from the tree.
Yes, but if they made a small hole, you can just reach your hand aside.
Well, it's not a matter of making a hole. It's a matter of, in other words, they fell from the cluster at the top of the tree. They got caught in the branches lower down on the tree where there are no dates growing nearby there.
Yeah, but if they're only opening a small opening, they're not climbing inside, just putting your hands.
No. We're talking about it's enough for them to be able to go and reach it. They have to be able to reach up to the top of the tree. No. The hole is large enough for that medium to actually walk in. Anyway, Tosfos actually has a problem. Well, the pastors, they only had a gate open from their house, so then the Aniyim would have to go through the house. We're talking about like this. The Aniyim should be able to come in from the street. Tosfos, anyway, has a lot of problems with Rashi's explanation of that and of various other parts of the sugya over here, because no matter what, you're not allowed to climb on a tree midrabbanan anyway. So how are they going up and getting the ones that are high up on the branches? Fine, they're not attached to the tree anymore, but there's still an Isur D'Rabbanan to climb up onto a tree. So yeah, if some of the Mefarshim actually explained that maybe Rashi would hold that that was part of the machlokes between the Anshi Yerichai and the Chachamim, whether we have to make such a gzera. But Tosfos doesn't hold that way. Tosfos holds everybody, even the Anshi Yerichai, know there's a gzera about climbing up a tree. No, what it is rather Tosfos says, we're talking about they were detached from, they were detached before Yom Tov. The difference is you have the ones that are still detached but are high up on the tree. Now, let's say later on during Shabbos or Yom Tov, they fall off there and fall onto the ground. So now they weren't attached at the beginning of Shabbos. So there's no, they weren't attached at the beginning of Shabbos. But Ben Ashmoshes, they were still high up among the branches. So therefore, even though they were already detached, you might go and detach them at that point. Because you might go up there and you might go up there and take them and detach them from the tree. Whereas the Anshe Yerichai held, look, I mean, these things are not attached to the tree at all. And now they're not even on the tree because by the time the Aniyim are coming for them, they already fell completely off the tree onto the ground. So therefore, there should be no problem. On the other hand, Ula is telling us if they're Ben Hakifim, if they're lower down on the tree, they were, in other words, they were lower down on the tree before when Shabbos began, Ben Ashmoshes, and now they fell onto the ground, then even the Chachamim would agree that there's no problem with those because they weren't attached to the tree, Ben Ashmoshes, so they're not Muktzah. It's just a matter of we have to maybe be gozer that they might go up and pick some, but since they were lower down on the tree when Yom Tov began, or when Shabbos began, then therefore we don't have to worry about it. But Rava says, even so, shouldn't they still be considered muktzah? Which means, according to Rashi, that Ben Ashmoshes they were still attached. So therefore, they were, and once they're muktzah for the beginning of Shabbos, they remain muktzah for the whole Shabbos. According to Tosfos, the vote is that Ben Ashmoshes they were still on the tree, and since you're not allowed to climb a tree in the Rabbanon, then you couldn't get them. So they should be considered muktzah. So how can the Anshe Yerichai hold that any of them would be mutter? And how can we say that the ones that are Ben Akifim, that are between the lower branches, should be mutter? So you're going to say maybe the reason why they're not mukta is because even when they're attached, they're still suitable for ravens. If a person has pet ravens, and sometimes we learned in Masechta Shabbos, sometimes rich people would have pet ravens, then they're able to go and eat that fruit. So maybe therefore it's not considered mukta because you had in mind, in other words, that you could conceivably get them on Shabbos, but you can't say that. Hashta mukham la'odim, like having mukham la'klovim. We know that even when something is ready before Shabbos, that a person could eat it, it's not considered muchan as far as dogs. And we know that the Tanan Rabbi Yehuda Omer im loy hoisin nevelam ed of Shabbos asura. You have a case at the end of Masechta Shabbos where you have an animal that an animal, a nevela. The question is, can you cut it up to feed it to dogs? And Rabbi Yehuda says that if it was not nevela before Shabbos asura, then it's also to cut it up for dogs on Shabbos lafisha enim and muchan, because it's not muchan, because before Shabbos it wasn't intended for dogs. Before Shabbos the intention was that you were going to eat it. Now the fact is, before Shabbos you couldn't have eaten it either because it wasn't shechted. So Tosfos,
a dog, a club?
No, we're talking about a kosher animal that died. To give it to dogs, but you couldn't have eaten it before Shabbos because it wasn't shechted. So Tosfos gives another possibility. Tosfos gives two possibilities. One is the fact that Rabbi Yehuda uses the expression lefisha einam and amuchan means the problem is not that it was shechted. The problem is not that it wasn't shechted. The problem is that before Shabbos it was intended that eventually it's going to be used for human food, and now you're repurposing it for animal food, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying you can't do that. So nothing to do with the problem of that it wasn't shechted. The other possibility Tosfos says is fine, you can't eat it because it wasn't shechted, but that's sort of a side thing. Right now we're focusing on the dinim muktzah, and we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda is saying it wasn't muchan for dogs, therefore you can't cut it up for them on Shabbos. Now we have over there actually the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda in that, but Rava over there in the Gemara holds the halacha is like Ula, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, Rava is saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, then even you can't, you have something which was meant for human food, you can't repurpose it for animal food. So if that's the case, mochan la'ovim having mochan la'adam, you're going to say that because something was suitable for ravens to eat, therefore it becomes mutter, therefore it's mutter, it's considered not muktzah, and people can take it on Shabbos as well, according to the Anshe Yerichai, and if it's between the kifrim, then according to everybody, how could that be? Amalei, so all the answers ain't. Yes, because it's like this, mochan la'adam having mochan la'klovim, when you have something that was suitable for people to eat before Shabbos, and it was meant that people are going to eat it, then we say it's not, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not mochan l'klavim, and the reason is the kol midi d'chazi l'inish l'makzi l'midaiti, because anything that a person has, anything that's suitable for a person to eat, so he's not makzi, He doesn't take it away from his mind, and therefore, so therefore now to go and cut it up for dog, then that would be, it's not considered mukhan. You had in mind that eventually you're going to eat it. But mukhan la'ovim, having mukhan la'odim, but you can say, says Ula, the other way around, you have something that was suitable for ravens to eat, namely these dates that were on the tree before Shabbos. You can, it can be having mukhan la'odim. It can be considered mukhan as far as a person, because kol midi dechazi le'inish da'iti elavei. The same logic. Anything that a person could conceivably eat, he has in mind. So since he or conceivably the dates could become mutter to eat during Shabbos, therefore he has them in mind before Shabbos, and therefore they're not considered mutter, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. On the other hand, he also, so all this is according to Ula's, all this is according to Ula's version of Rish Lakish, that that as long as again, when it comes to the ones that are Bein Akifim, since they're Muchan La'ovim, then therefore they can be considered Muchan La'odim as well, and therefore a person is allowed to take them on Shabbos and eat them, even according to the Chachamim. Only the ones Bein Akifim is there the argument between the Chachamim and the Anshe Yerichai about whether you can do that or not. On the other hand, Ki Osa Ravin Amar Shimon Lakish. On the other hand, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported in the name of Rav Shimon Lakish that it's the other way around. Machloikus b'shel ben kipim, just the opposite. The machloikus between the Chachamim and the Anshe Yerichai is about the ones that are between the lower branches. And the machloikus is exactly that. Did Abonan Savri Muchan la'ovim la'havim Muchan la'odam? The Chachamim hold just because it's Muchan as far as that ravens can go and eat it on Shabbos, your pet ravens can go and eat it, doesn't mean therefore that's Muchan as far as people. So that, in other words, not like the Svara that Ula had just told Rava, we would say just because unless you had in mind before Shabbos that you planned to eat it, then you can't. And you can't because and you can't necessarily because you can't take them off the tree on Shabbos. So the Anshe Yerichai Sabri, Muchan La'ovim, Havim Muchan La'odim, whereas the people of Yerichai held that it is considered Muchan for a person and therefore it's not Mukta. But as far as the dates that are higher up on the tree between the branches, there you have Divrei Hakol. Also, everybody, even the Anshe Yerichai, would agree that it's also Gazrinin Shemayala B'Yitlosh, because he might go up there and pick actual ones that are still attached to the tree, which would be an Issur D'Oraisa.
You're supposed to touch a branch, or you're not supposed to lean on it.
You're not supposed to lean on it, but you're also not allowed to take something off a branch or put it on there on Shabbos. We learned in Masechta Shabbos about Sdodin, Siddiq Sdodin, right? We also had also an Eidovin. We had in connection, for example, putting an Eidovin in a tree. Yeah. So in this case, so again, if it's high up on the tree, then we're saying for sure, even the Anshe Yerichai, no, it's no good, says Robin. If it's lower down on the tree, then the Anshe Yerichai said, since ravens could get it, then therefore it's mutter even for people. And the Chachamim say, still not. Again, according to Rashi, we're talking about it's still up there. And the question is whether you're allowed to take it from there on Shabbos. According to Tosfos, we're talking about it fell off there afterwards sometime during Shabbos or sometime during Yom Tov. And the question is now, can you take it given that it's on the ground and doesn't involve climbing up or taking something off the tree at all? Okay. We'll stop here and we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
What's the problem with Anshe Yerichai?
So that's what Tosfos had said. It sounds like they're saying Shema Yisrael Hashem. Hashem, listen to Yisrael.
Shema Yisrael Hashem.
Yeah, it means Hashem, listen to Yisrael. So then that's misinterpreting what the pasuk means. Yeah, that's Tosfos says. That's one explanation of what Anshe Yerichai did wrong. By the way, in these places in Chassidus where it talks about this idea where the Anshe Yerichai weren't saying Baruch Shem, because they didn't think it necessary to bring down Malchus Shemayim, they didn't think it's necessary to have to bring down Kedusha into this world. In some places, it talks about this is a deeper idea. Why? We know when the Jewish people conquered Yericho, Yeshua announced that the city is never supposed to be rebuilt. It has to be Chedem, it has to be never again rebuilt. Later on, you had a fellow Chiyah Beisaeli in Achav's times rebuilt it, and he was punished. So it goes together with this, because the people of Yerichai had this, because the Pnimiyas Yinyanim, Yerichai represents this idea that of course doesn't need to be brought down into our world. Therefore, such a city doesn't need to, and therefore such a city shouldn't be rebuilt. Such a city shouldn't exist in our world. Such a mentality that Kedusha only needs to be somewhere up there and doesn't need to be brought down here on earth.
This is Yerichai after they capture it from the Goyim.
So this is long after. This is what we're talking about in the times that we're talking about in the times of the Gemara of the Pashto, in the times of the Mishnah of the Pashto. So we're talking about long after Yeshua conquered it. So it was rebuilt later, it was built by Chiel, and afterwards Jews lived in it for a long time. But
it wasn't supposed to be
rebuilt. No, so we're saying it wasn't supposed to have been built in the first place. Once it was built, the Pashto, you were allowed to live there.
How could
what?
He was the only Jew was the only one there that
died. Well, he and his family. I mean, all his children died, but yeah. What?
How can the Anshei Yichov change the meaning of Shema Yisrael when it was given from Matan Torah? We had that meaning.
They're not changing their meaning. They didn't say it carefully enough, which then it could be misinterpreted that way. So the Chachamim disapproved of it. They weren't going to go and be Moicha because B'dieved. Even if you say Shema, even if you're not careful with making the proper separations where you're supposed to, you're still Yotze the Mitzvah. So the Chachamim didn't feel that it was necessary to be Moicha in them to tell them off. Actually, you're doing wrong, because the fact is, b'di'evad, you are yotze that way. But we're still saying that l'chatchila, they should have been doing it the right way, and therefore the Chum disapproved of them not saying it this way. Yeah.
How did they say it exactly?
So again, we have, what do you mean, how did they say? We just said we have a few different opinions. One is that they would say the whole Pasuk Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, together without breaking after the word Yisrael. That's what Tosfos says. Rashi says that it means that they would go from Echad straight to Ve'ahavta without making a break in between. The you have also the different opinions, or Meir and Rabbi Hoda over there, that it means also that they wouldn't say Baruch Shem. And Rashi says another explanation is that they said Baruch Shem, but they said it out loud instead of quietly. So you have a few different possibilities of what exactly they did.
But at the end of the day, it's the Kavanah that counts, not
more,
the way you...
One more is also that they said Hayoim Allo Avecha without making a break after the word Hayoim like you're supposed to. No matter what it is, they were doing wrong. That's what we're saying. The Chachamim disapproved of it, but the Chachamim didn't find it appropriate to go and tell them off that you're doing wrong.
Why?
Because we're saying whatever it is, b'di'evad they are yotze. Even as far as not saying Baruch Shem, it says, I think it says in Shulchan Aruch, b'di'evad, if you don't say Baruch Shem, you're still yotze. And we have the example of Amshi Yericha for that, where we see they're still yotze, the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, even without it. They're not doing it the right way.
They're yotze, but they're still wrong. Why they didn't tell them that they're wrong?
Because that's the thing. The Chachamim told them that they're wrong when there's no real heter for what they're doing, when they're doing something which is actually osir, but when they're doing something which is, it's not the right way, it's not mitzvah and amulcha, but they still are yotze, then they didn't find it necessary to tell them off for that.
Hmm.